RVOs limit up in the soybean oil. There's a lot to break down for a Friday trade. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network, and I'm Susan Littlefield. Sue Martin's joining us. She is with Ag and Investment out of Clarion, Iowa, and where we get word out of D.C. about these RVOs. Initial market reaction, did it kind of go the direction you thought, especially after we heard that numbers were going to be decreased, not increased like they ended up being?
Well, actually, the numbers even came out better than I was expecting. They do have a little bit of deceiving in a way, there's more work or needed news, I guess, to come out yet. But basically, the RFS, RVO, biomass, based diesel that came out with the change is actually going to be in RINs now versus actual gallons. And so that changes a little bit and makes us have to kind of think through it. But when you get all down to it, the change in gallons to RINs, 1.6 to 1.7 RINs per gallon is where we could be versus the 1.27, which is what we normally would be. And if we were at 1.27, then that would equate to basically looking at about 5.6 billion gallons that we would be utilizing. And so that the bottom line is of all this is that it basically puts a huge demand for beans. And of course, to keep them in our country, and how is that going to relate back towards exports, back towards food usage, and then, of course, for our soy oil. But another thing is, it sounds like the question mark is, will we still have some imports allowed for used cooking oil? And because it sounds more like this is going to be mostly these kind of numbers equate back to domestic. And so if that's the case, that's a really good coup for the industry and, of course, for the soybean farmer. And then you look at the 45Z tax credit, which is still being debated. So we don't know yet on that as to whether used cooking oil from imports is going to be allowed or not. And truthfully, a lot of used cooking oil in imports comes from China. So there's still some questions and answers to be found. And of course, it's thought that this proposal will be a 90-day period of where they look it over and work with it. But it sounds like a pretty good win for the U.S. farmer.
Did you expect soybean oil to go limit up and kind of just hang out there all day?
The only way I would have expected it would be if we could get a policy announced. And I know President Trump basically had reviewed the policy and then sent it back to the EPA. So we were waiting on some kind of announcement. But bottom line, what we're getting is very good news. And so there's still, like I say, a few irons in the fire that got to be worked out. But basically, very good news. And it's kind of been without the thought of it being bean oil that would help us. I've kind of always have had this view. In fact, I talked about it the last time I was on Market to Market, that I thought beans would trade over $11. And I still think they will. And of course, the weather on the other side of the equation is the weather right now is pretty ideal. Although some areas are starting to say they're getting a little dry. In our area, we are not. But, when you look at the soybeans and then it's soybean oil that's running the bean market, as opposed to what used to be soy meal that would carry the bean market. Well, and then we're looking at less acres this year. I think it puts support under these beans.
Over to the fertilizer concerns. You and I were talking briefly before we went on the air, and obviously tensions are getting very very high in the Middle East. And there's been some concerns as to what this might mean for fertilizers.
Well, I think that it is a concern. But also when you're disrupting, and of course we see how even crude oil is responding. It's up $5.10 a blue barrel on July futures. You know, they're responding in concern over the Middle East situation. And yes, it is a concern with fertilizer because we do get fertilizers out of the Middle East. But also, what else does it do? Drives the price up.
Finally, over to the livestock side. I mean, futures have been very tired. We saw some decent cash once again, especially surprisingly out of the South. What is your takeaway of this cattle market this week?
Well, I think, first off, I think cattle act to me. They've been acting very potentially top heavy. You know, we've got our Elliott Wave 5s that have been sitting above a cluster of them, or the feeder cattle and the fats. And as, of course, as the market would make new highs or higher highs, those fives would just inch up, but they wouldn't go away, which was saying, don't be a buyer of the market, but look to be a seller. Well, you know, we've wondered how the market would peak. Now, we've had basically 4 or 5 days of very quiet inside weaker markets here, basically, with the corn. We're just kind of building a pennant is what we were, or not corn, but feeder cattle and fats. And the August fats, basically, we're building like a little pennant. And but the June kept gaining because of no deliveries. And then, you know, the news on this week when Green Valley Foods in Omaha, their facility was working with about 30% of their staff on Wednesday because federal agents from ICE had raided and, of course, detained about 74 to 76 of their workers. And so, and that was out of basically roughly 140 workers that the Green Valley Foods plant in Omaha has. But then the next day, basically, I would say more of those workers did not show up because the ones that hadn't been detained were nervous that they could come back and take them. And so, you know, the plant was working on 20% of normal capacity. Well, what happens is if you think about a, now this is a meat processing facility, but if you're looking at a packing facility, you know, if they have people that are not to work and are disappeared or pulled off the lines because of an ICE raid, what you're dealing with is the concern that then the packer, if he can't have people to work, he can't bid for cattle. And therefore, we start to back up some numbers of cattle. And if he can't bid for cattle, he's going to drop his bids. And so it sends the market south. And of course, looks like we're going to close right near our lows of the day. And that, I think, depicts that we probably have, one, we have a lower weekly close here for the week. And two, I think we probably have struck our highs in the cattle market.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks so much, Sue. Sue Martin joining us today. And a quick reminder to everybody, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's the Friday version of the Market Wrap-Up on the American Ag Network.